This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is Station KUWS, broadcasting from studios at Superior State Teachers College in Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful lakes. It's Friday, January 1st, 1943. Welcome to the new year, friends. Lou Martin is standing by with the Fort Hopkins 6 o'clock news and the latest war news, including a special report from Daryl Berrigan over shortwave wireless.
That'll be very interesting, Jack and listeners. It's a detailed report from our, until now, secret bombing mission over Wake Island. Daryl Berrigan tells a harrowing story.
He's done great work covering the Pacific War, Lou. After that, why, we've got the swinging hits from the big bands. And then, Lou, it's time for our annual New Year's resolutions.
That's always been rather futile, don't you think? I mean, last year it was no more liverwurst sandwiches at work.
I plan on being a little more realistic this time, Lou.
Well, the year before it had something to do with throwing out old clothes and underwear.
Well, like I said, this year I'll be more realistic. I get attached to my old clothes.
Especially if you skip a wash day or two.
The clothes are never dirty, Lou. Maybe just a little wrinkled.
Rumpled.
Well, in any case, Lou, let's turn our attention to the Fort Hopkins 6 o'clock news. Fort Hopkins drugstore. Deep cuts in prices, including the New Year's Day special. Bromo seltzer for 49 cents. And some of us will need it. Happy New Year to you, Lou.
Well, happy 1943 to you, Jack, and good listeners. Our lead story today is the end from the Russian front as the Reds are taking a huge toll on Nazi troops. The German front in the Caucasus is near collapse, while the Soviets are crushing Hitler's troops in Stalingrad. We begin our world roundup from Stalingrad.
This is Stalingrad calling. Stalingrad here. Henry Shapiro of United Press reporting. The Red Army, surging forward at three fronts in its massive winter offensive, killed 1,900 more Axis troops Friday, raising to over 300,000 the number of enemy effectives killed or captured in the last 6 weeks. New gains were reported by the Soviet midday communique at Stalingrad, northwest and southwest of the city, on the middle reaches of the Don River. The communique was not so spectacular as that issued just after midnight, which reported that 1,500 towns and villages had been liberated, 22 divisions encircled, and 36 more routed, and over 300,000 Axis troops killed or captured in 6 weeks. Southwest of Stalingrad, where the Russians are driving on following the capture of an important German base, the Soviets continued their powerful drive, which threatened the Caucasus gateway of Rostov. This is Henry Shapiro, United Press Foreign Service, calling North Africa, calling Casablanca.
This is Casablanca calling, North African Allied Headquarters, Wes Gallagher reporting. Strictly on the defensive and devoid of new victories over which to boast, Adolf Hitler reverted to a favorite theme Friday in his New Year message to the German people by blaming the Allies and the Jews for starting the war and promising there never would be a repetition of 1918. In a special proclamation broadcast by the Berlin Radio, Hitler pictured Germany as a peace-loving nation and himself as the leader who sought only to save his countrymen from their enemies and ensure their future welfare. The proclamation was bare of reference to developments on the Russian front, where the German armies are reeling under the blow of a six-week-old Soviet offensive, and likewise ignored the Axis rout in Libya and the Allied landings in North Africa. Germany will never be conquered and never will capitulate, the Fuhrer asserted. Our strength, the courage of our troops, and the faith of the German people, as well as the achievements of our brave allies in Europe and Asia, give us the right to believe in victory. Hitler coupled his statement with a warning that the winter would be a hard one, but tempered this by declaring that it cannot possibly be harder than the last. This is Wes Gallagher, United Foreign Service reporting, calling London, calling London.
This is London calling.
Your reporter William Dickinson speaking. British warships were believed battling German naval units Friday in northern waters where they had damaged an enemy cruiser and probably sunk a destroyer in the biggest engagement in more than 19 months. The battle, apparently involving a German convoy bound for a Norwegian port, was announced in a terse Admiralty communique, which indicated that it might be the biggest naval encounter since the German battleship Bismarck and the British battleship cruiser Hood were sunk in a running engagement in 1941. Early today, the announcement said, His Majesty's ships made contact with an enemy force in northern waters. During an ensuing engagement, an enemy cruiser was damaged and withdrew. An enemy destroyer was severely hit, and when last seen was in a sinking condition. Operations continued. Further results were awaited eagerly in the Admiralty quarters. For many months, the British had not had a crack at German naval units larger than a submarine or destroyer. Germany's known remaining 15 to 20 destroyers were last reported hiding in the steep-sided Norwegian fjords. This is William Dickinson of the World Service reporting from London.
We all remember the dark days a year ago when Manila and Hong Kong fell under the Japanese onslaught. We also remember the brave fight by Marines at Wake Island. The last transmission from the defenders of Wake Island was received on Christmas Eve of 1941. 1 year later, to the day, American bombers plunged from the skies in a surprise attack, the largest raid of the Pacific War. United Foreign Service reporter Daryl Berrigan flew along in one of the bombers and today was able to file this report from somewhere in the Pacific.
Huge American bombers plunged from the high heavens today on unsuspecting Wake Island and plastered the Japs with 76,000 pounds of bombs in the biggest mass raid of the Pacific War. Possibly more than half the Japanese defenders were killed. There were no American casualties. Intense fires were started both on Wake and Peel Islands. The Japs were caught in bed 1 minute after midnight. Their anti-aircraft fire, which didn't start until long after the first bombs exploded, was mild, and the frightened Japanese could be seen in the brilliant moonlight running madly for their dugouts. In a split second, the bombs crashed all over both islands. Fires crackled everywhere. Precisely at midnight, the flight leader, Colonel William A. Matheny of Carrington, North Dakota, flipped on his radio and called to the long line of planes behind him. This is it, boys. The nose of his plane slanted down. The engines roared. Beyond the nose of his bomber lay Wake Island, where for 16 days, 1 year ago, United States Marines made one of the most gallant last stands in the world's history. Faster and faster, the bomber plunged in, its nose pointed at a long row of buildings on Peacock Point. The island was blacked out. Co-pilot Lieutenant E.H. Carey of Gridley, California, was pouring coal to four engines, as he put it. Down and down the plane sped, its occupants watching on all sides for signs of anti-aircraft fire. None came. Colonel Matheny pulled her nose up. Suddenly, brilliant red flashes were seen below. When are you going to turn loose those incendiaries? Colonel Matheny asked the bombardier, Lieutenant D.D. Manchester of Spokane, Washington. God, sir, replied the lieutenant. And at that moment, a huge flash was seen. Planes on each wing let theirs go at the same time. When the colonel turned his ship, every one of the buildings in that long row were afire. Not a Japanese was seen to run from them. Still, there was no anti-aircraft fire. Dozens of more bombers began to hit all sections of both islands. Finally, after what seemed an eternity, a few Japs managed to reach two AK-AK guns and let go wildly. Shells burst fully 6,000 feet above and 2 miles away from the nearest American plane. Then machine guns unlimbered and tracers began to hunt the planes above. The searchlights popped on below. Their beams caught the leading plane, but almost instantly they went out. Their bombs gone, the bombers started for their Shangri-La base, 40 miles from Wake. Fires on Wake Island were visible for 75 miles. The bombers flew in absolute radio silence on their trip to Wake Island, guided only by the moon and the stars. This was the first combat action for all but two of the pilots, but despite the rain and fog, every plane reached the base and landed safely. On special assignment, this is Daryl Berrigan, United Press Foreign Service.
Also a year ago, British troops were pushed back from Hong Kong, Malaysia, and Burma. But now the war has come back to Burma. British troops are on the offensive, striking Akyab. RAF and U.S. bombers are raiding enemy bases at Taungoo and Mandalay. The objective is to recapture Mandalay and the Burma Road to supply Chinese forces all the way to Chongqing. It's also notable, too, that this is the first offensive action by the Allies in the Indian Bay of Bengal region since the devastating losses there last year. Last year's New Year's Eve observances were mixed. Mutual News correspondent John W. Wiggins has the story from Washington.
It is to be a year of extremes, say these forecasters, a year sometimes bringing military reversals, but more often triumphs, prosperity, but also economic dangers, vastly increased production of armament, but fewer and fewer civilian goods. And even in its midnight birth, 1943 was received from coast to coast with such mixtures as gaiety by revelers, reverence by watch night throngs in churches. New York's traditional Great Way became the Great Dim Way for crowds numbered as high as 500,000 who cheered the new year in on streets darkened in conformity with wartime regulations. Hotels, nightclubs, restaurants, and theaters were crowded. Along the waterfront, they saw the Statue of Liberty's upraised torch flash a V for victory. Nationwide, gasoline rationing reduced the usually heavy holiday motor travel, and fewer violent deaths marred the New Year's Eve celebration. Virtually all war plants continued their round-the-clock production. In Washington, this is John W. Wiggins, Mutual News.
Exiled Norwegian Crown Prince Olaf arrived in New York last night. He'll be visiting his wife, Princess Martha, and their two children. Fort Hopkins News Time is 6:06. Here's Jack McKenna with a word from our sponsor.
Ford Hopkins has a New Year's resolution. Yes, indeed, they do. That's to give you the best prices available anywhere, from any drugstore. Well, for example, they have Pinex, the cough medicine. It's for coughs and colds. Makes a full pint, 54 cents. Vicks Vapor Rub, 27 cents. Bengay, the 75-cent size. Folks, for 59 cents. A whole carton of John Ruskin razor blades. Guaranteed quality, double edge, 30 for a quarter. Can you beat that? Not even with a stick. Carter's laxative and liver pills, 19 cents, and that's the quarter size. X-Lax, 19 cents, 25-cent size. And so it goes, folks, and so you should go to Fort Hopkins, 13th and Tower in Superior.
Fort Hopkins has a New Year's resolution. How is yours coming?
Not to worry, Lou. I'll have it in short time. You'd better have yours ready.
And remember, Jack, be realistic this year. Our top story on the home front is shipyard expansion and a real housing crunch. With $37 million in new contracts, Walter Butler and the Globe Shipbuilding in Superior are going to be hiring 2,000 more men in the next 6 weeks. That means 2,000 more men and their families will need housing right away. Association of Commerce Secretary A.J. Wenzel says that they're working out a plan. They need help, good listeners. Mr. Wenzel is urging all people with sleeping rooms, empty apartments, or homes to telephone him at 6221. New Year's Eve was a relatively quiet night in Superior, although many were out in the town celebrating the coming of 1943. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Well, light snowflakes fluttered down Friday as New Year dawned and the city calmed down from its New Year's Eve celebrations. A number of churches held watch services to usher the old year out and welcome in the new year. City streets were quiet this morning as only an occasional auto moved along. Banks, most city stores, the courthouse, city hall, and the public library were closed. Housewives, among other New Year's resolutions, resolved to take down aging Christmas trees, clean up the piles of fallen needles, and in general make their homes shipshape for the new year. At city police headquarters, however, things were not so quiet. 12 or 13 arrests for drunkenness marred the arrest report, but even the nightlife side of the New Year's Eve celebration was reported quieter than usual. Numerous New Year's Eve parties were held in private homes Thursday night, and most of the city lodges and organizations held parties at their club rooms. Auld Lang Syne was sung and resting through a long evening and into lengthening morning, punctuated by frequent cries of Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to you, Lou.
Well, thank you, Mike. Congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Earl Ekstrand of Solon Springs. They're the proud parents of the only baby born this New Year's Day in Douglas County. Baby Ekstrand was born at 8:27 this morning in St. Mary's Hospital in Superior. Dr. H.A. Sincock made the delivery.
Does Doc Sincock get a share of the loot merchants have lined up for the tyke? Maybe that bottle of wine from Zanazowski and Sons, eh?
Well, that'd be up to the Ekstrands, Jack. There were a couple of close calls, but, you know, babies just won't wait. Mr. and Mrs. John Tyson of Station B had a son yesterday, and the Earl Fredricksons had a son at St. Joseph's Hospital, also in Superior, yesterday.
Hey, I think I tried to tell them to hang on until midnight. Thanks, Lou. Lou Martin with the 6 o'clock news on KUWS. Okay, friends, the forecast from the United States Weather Bureau on this first day of 1943 is light snow tonight and tomorrow, with an overnight low of 15 above. Boy, that's not bad, and very unusual for this time of year. Whenever that low temp is above zero anyway in January, I figure we have a regular heat wave going. Now, on with the music on the Martin and McKenna Show, dedicated to Baby Ekstrand of Solon Springs. This is Captain Glenn Miller and his orchestra, and In the Mood on Station KUWS. Captain Glenn Miller and his very fine orchestra In the mood. They always are, it seems. On the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
How can In the Mood be dedicated to a newborn baby?
Believe me, Lou, Mom and Dad will need all the help they can get to stay in the good mood with a newborn at home.
Dear me, spoken like a real bachelor. Someday, Jack, you'll have one of your own, and you'll have a whole new outlook on things.
Yes, Jack, it's best to think hard on your New Year's resolution. Harriet has some important homefront war news for us right now. Now, our community editor, the lovely Harriet Farage.
Thank you, Lewis.
You're very welcome, Harriet.
For the love of Mike, you two.
Local chapter of the Superior Red Cross has been given a quota of surgical dressings to fold, and women of Douglas County need to volunteer for this most important duty. Mrs. A.F. Moore says they'll meet next Tuesday, January 5th, at the Elks home. More than a ton of cotton will be cut and made into 8x10 absorbing pads. The quota is a daunting 142,000 pads. Mrs. Moore explains that these pads will not touch the wound, but will cover the gauze instead. More than 400 women have already signed up for this Red Cross effort, and Mrs. Moore says more ladies are needed. And here's a sign of the times, Lewis. The ladies' machinists will meet next Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the new Union Labor Hall on Broadway and Tower Avenue. The ladies' machinists must elect officers. Mrs. Inez Hagen and Mabel Munnings will be hostesses.
Think of it. Lady machinists.
Thank you, Harriet Fiery.
It's not really that hard to imagine ladies doing machine work. What seems so much harder to imagine is those surgical dressings, so many of them being used on our soldiers. All of the communities with quotas to make surgical pads or roll bandages or things like that.
That, my dear, is the reality of war in our time.
That's why we must do all we can do, if we can. And when we can.
There he goes again.
Never say can't. That's my motto.
By the way, Jack, Colonel Raffaele will be in pretty soon.
Oh, boy. I wish I could say can't. Very well, then. Here's something for you folks this New Year's night. I've heard that song before with Harry James and his orchestra on Station KUWS.
Thank you.
the fine, very enjoyable music of Harry James with Helen Forrest singing on the Martin and McKenna Show on KUWS. Well, Happy New Year from Berg Studio. They're doing war work, too. Berg Studio has taken the official photographs for the shipyards, the government housing project on Hammond Avenue, and all waterfront passports. Berg Studios in the Board of Trade Building. And best wishes for 1943 from Branzer's Clothing in Superior. Best wishes and thanks for your patronage over the years. Branzer's at 1316 Tower Avenue. Best wishes and New Year's resolutions coming up from all of us at KUWS right after this number. Let's enjoy a brand new song from Tommy Dorsey, Boogie Woogie, on the Martin and McKenna Show. The music of Tommy Dorsey with Howard Roberts stroking the ivories. And what a jumpin' tune that is, eh? On station KUWS.
Let's welcome Douglas County Draft Board No. 2 Chairman, Colonel Raffaele. Happy New Year, sir.
Lou, ask him if he has a New Year's resolution.
I heard that, McKenna, and I've got one, too. I resolved to make McKenna have better taste in music.
He could use a better taste in clothes, too.
How about a better taste in food?
I find this all very distasteful.
Enough of this nonsense. I'm in a hurry, and there's some important business to attend to. I'm taking on new duties.
Huh. So maybe you'll be too busy to stop in so often, eh, Colonel?
You won't get out that easy, McKenna. I'll be by often. At least for the time being. Meet the new Air Raid Warden for Superior Industries.
I suppose you'd like to have as many drills as possible.
Well, that's the best way to keep sharp, Martin. And it seems to me you two could use some drilling. Anywho, whenever Uncle Sam calls, the Colonel answers. These new duties come because the Chief Air Raid Warden now, Henry Logie, is going to get some special training at Purdue University. He leaves for Indiana tomorrow. The U.S. Army wants him to learn more about industrial protection.
So you'll be in charge of blowing the air raid siren.
And I like sirens.
For the love of Mike.
And McKenna, when that siren goes off, all industries are blacked out. And all homes, too. And that means your place and those shoddy curtains you got hanging in your windows, if you ask me, they look like towels.
Hey, towels can be useful as drapes, you know.
Thank you, Douglas County Draft Board Number 2 Chairman, Colonel Rapoli.
Well, off I go. I'm a busy man, Martin. But I'll be back. Without warning.
No wonder I'm getting jumpy these days. On with the music, friends. Here's another new number just released by Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters and the Victory Polka on Station KUWS.
There's gonna be a hallelujah day when the boys have all come home to stay and a million bands begin to play. We'll be dancing the victory polka.
Dance, dance, dance the victory polka.
Jine, jine the merry throng.
Sing, sing, sing the victory polka.
Raise your voices loud and strong.
This gonna be
a great hallelujah day
when the boys have
all come home to stay and a million bands begin to play.
We'll be dancing the victory polka.
And when we've lit the torch of liberty
in each blacked out
land across the sea, when a man can proudly say I'm free,
we'll be dancing the victory polka. And we will give a mighty cheer
when a ration book is just a souvenir.
And we'll heave a mighty sigh
when each gal can kiss the boy she kissed goodbye. And they'll come marching down Fifth Avenue, the United Nations in review. When this lovely dream has all come true,
we'll be dancing the victory polka. We'll be dancing the victory polka.
The sounds of Vic Shane and his orchestra with Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
Well, it's time, old buddy. It's time to be resolute.
To make a realistic commitment for 1943.
Are you proposing, Harriet?
Jack.
I've got my resolution, but you guys go first.
You're still thinking, aren't you? You're searching desperately for a resolution, aren't you?
I'll go first. I resolve to take an arc welding class and get a job at one of the shipyards and help ease the labor shortage.
Well, I don't know, Harriet. That would mean that you're not being here on the radio show.
One less person to pick on me. Really, though, Harriet, I have to say, I'm impressed once again. Lewis, your turn.
Well, in that spirit, then, I resolve to do what I can to support women's efforts to join the war effort, including giving news of training and development as women join the workforce.
Lewis, you're so supportive, and this will really help our war effort.
Uncle Sam meets Aunt Susie kind of thing, eh?
I suppose you could put it that way.
In fact, I think that only Jack could put it that way. All right now, Jack, we do this every year. Let's hear a more reasonable, realistic...
responsible resolution.
Okie dokie. Here goes. I resolve to be more realistic. How's that?
Jack.
Not cute.
Now, Lou, that's impossible. I can't help but be cute. But all right, here goes again. I resolve to share my liverwurst with anyone who would like a bite.
Jack.
Jack.
All right. I resolve to do whatever I can to shorten this war and bring our men and women back home to this wonderful region we call the Head of the Lakes.
Why, Jack, that's so beautiful.
I think even Colonel Raffley would go along with that one. Nice job, buddy.
Well, I mean it. Let's hope and pray for a good 1943, good listeners, and I'll still share my liverwurst at work.
That'll be Ray and our engineer, Joe Gardonio. Not me.
Well, that's a wrap, friends. We'll be back same time, same place, on your radio dial, the good Lord willing. For Lou and Harriet, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking. And best of luck to us all in 1943.
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Don Mason, Joel Anderson, and Joey Laporte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.